Years later, his work, coupled with that of Denovan, Crosby, and William H. McNeil, finally made them take notice. Based on their work and his own, Dobbins argued that the Indian population in 1491 was between 90 and 112 million people. Another way of saying this is that when Columbus sailed, more people lived in the Americas than in Europe. According to a 1999 estimate from the United Nations, the Earth's population in the beginning of the 16th century was about 500 million. If Dobbins was right, disease claimed the lives of 80 to 100 million Indians by the first third of the 17th century. All these numbers are at best rough approximations, but their implications are clear. The epidemics killed about one out of every five people on Earth. According to W. George Lovell, a geographer at Queen's University in Ontario, it was the greatest destruction of lives in human history. Dobbins published his conclusions in the journal Current Anthropology in 1966. They spawned rebuttals, conferences, even entire books. Denovan assembled one, The Native Population of the Americas in 1492. I always felt guilty about the impact of my Current Anthropology article, Dobbins told me, because I thought, and still think, that Kookenbora and Sauer had all said this in print earlier, but people weren't listening. I'm still puzzled by the reaction, to tell you the truth. Maybe it was the time. People were prepared to listen in the 1960s. Listen and attack. Dobbins's population projections were quickly seen by some as politically motivated. Self-flagellation by guilty white liberals, or worse, a push to inflate the toll of imperialism from the Hate America crowd. No question about it, some people want those higher numbers, Shepard Kreck III, an anthropologist at Brown, told me. These people, he said, were thrilled when Dobbins revisited the subject in a 1983 book, Their Number Become Thinned, and revised his estimates upward. Perhaps the most vehement critic was David Hennig, an African studies and Near East bibliographer at the University of Wisconsin, whose book Numbers from Nowhere, published in 1998, is a landmark in the literature of demographic vilification. Suspect in 1966, it is no less suspect nowadays, Hennig charged of Dobbins's work. If anything, it is worse. Hennig stumbled across a seminar on Indian demography taught by Denovan in 1976. An epiphanic moment occurred when he read that Cook and Borah had uncovered the existence of 8 million people in Hispaniola. Can you just invent millions of people, he wondered. We can make of the historical record that there was depopulation and movement of people from internecine warfare and diseases, he says, but as for how much, who knows? When we start putting numbers to something like that, applying large figures like 95%, we're saying things we shouldn't say. The number implies a level of knowledge that's impossible. Indian activists reject this logic. You always hear white people trying to minimize the size of the Aboriginal populations their ancestors personally displaced, according to Lenore Stiffarm, an ethnologist at the University of Saskatchewan. Putting the onus on disease, in her view, is simply a way to reduce the effective population of the Americas. Oh, there used to be people there, but by the time we got here, they were all gone. The smaller the numbers of Indians, she said, the easier it is to regard the continent as empty and hence up for grabs. It's perfectly acceptable to move into unoccupied land, Stiffarm told me, and land with only a few savages is the next best thing. When Hennig wrote Numbers from Nowhere, the fight about pre-Columbian population had already consumed forests worth of trees. His bibliography is 90 pages long. 4 decades after Dobbins's article appeared, his colleagues are still struggling to get out of the crater that paper left in anthropology, according to James Wilson, author of Their Earth Shall Weep, A History of North America's Indigenous Peoples After Conquest. The dispute shows no sign of abating. This is partly because of the inherent fascination with the subject, but it is also due to the growing realization of how much is at stake.